Your website is the mousetrap. Your content is the cheese. Welcome to Content Matters with Barry Feldman and Andy Crestedina.
We're out there. We're working hard. But we're very separate. We're spread out, and we don't necessarily get a good handle on the business of content, on the trends in blogging. So what we've done for the last few years is gotten people together and gotten to ask some specific questions, and we've learned about the business. This time on Content Matters, we're reporting on our third annual blogger survey, the survey of 1,000 plus bloggers, and we're happy to report on the analysis, what people are doing, what they're not doing, what they've changed, and what's working.
Oh, my Lord. In the interest of floating your boat instead of mine, I think on your gravestone, it's going to say something about this. This is becoming Crestedina / Orbit Media Studios legacy because, you and I have talked about the value of original research. Mm-hmm. Amazingly, nobody beat you to the punch here. You know, you said that you want basic questions answered about how do you blog, when do you blog, where do you blog, who do you share your blog with, how do you promote your blog. And you got those answered 3 years ago, and it's evolving to be a stunning story. You know, the place where our audience should go besides our blog post on this is where our infographic about it debuted, which is the HubSpot blog. And that thing's been shared 3,000 times. It's their hottest story of the year because blogging is everything to a content marketer.
Yeah, and it answers questions about the rest of the world, putting into context what each of us is doing. So where am I in this mix? Am I the only one who's spending this much time on that, or who's doing it this in this way, or what are people really doing? And to have enough respondents to get some data together that makes it come together, the picture appears like, wow, and you can see it over time. So let's jump in. The original question was, how much time does it take to write a blog post? And we found that answer, and it was 2 hours and 2.5 hours. And then we see the trend over time, and we see how much more is going into each of these pieces of content, and how blogging, although started from, you know, this kind of portmanteau word of web blog, and it's just people are journaling online. No, bloggers and content marketers are producing serious articles and putting a lot of time into them. The average right now, we've seen this over the last 3 years, it's now up to 3.25 hours. 3 hours and 60 minutes to write the average blog post, Barry. Think of that.
Yeah, and I guess I don't even know what that means, you know, in technically speaking, but it's a good start, and it certainly makes benchmarks that are relative to the prior year. So 2014 was roughly 2.5 hours, and it only went up a few minutes last year, and it went up a lot recently. And I think that's because, the amount of content, right? It takes better content to succeed. And so people are putting more time into their blog posts. And I guess your question was, how long does it take to write a blog post, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's not all you do. And so you research it and you put it together, and then you sort of format it and stuff. And, I take your survey, and I said, I think one of the choices is 6+ hours, and I chose that one.
We did. A lot of us did. The percentage of us that do and have, probably you and I have been doing that the whole time, has doubled. It's now 12% of bloggers who are spending 6+ hours on a typical piece of content. Now, yeah, that's that question, though, you're right, because that question is, how long does it take to write a post? And the rule of thumb these days is like, for every, you know, 2/3 of your time should go into content promotion, 1/3 only goes into content creation. And there's a lot more that goes into content than just writing, because, you know, as we go down through these findings, you can see we're seeing a lot more bloggers now than before, including alternate media, right? Additional content formats, putting stuff in there like more than one image. There's a majority now of bloggers, 51%, are saying that they put more than one image in each typical post.
Yeah.
And how many, I mean, look at yours. Yeah. A lot of us put it, you know, it's super visual medium. So the first question becomes slightly weirder over time. Like, how much time does it take to write a post? Well, I can answer that, but there's a whole lot more in this mix.
Yeah, so that's a section of the research. I guess we'll get to it, and we probably should move on. But I'm really sort of transfixed by this first topic, which is about putting in the time. Because this year, for the first time ever, I guess you haven't explained this. I guess we sort of put our heads together on this and said, what can we learn differently than the years before? And my suggestion was to ask people, without putting them through the ringer, just, you know, subjectively, what works, you know, what's producing strongest results. And so you did do that, and it makes this data that much more interesting, because we're, you're finding mostly, the more you put into it, the more you get out of it, to summarize it in very simple terms. And so with the putting in the time thing, it says that the people, it says in 2016, we busted well past the 3 hour mark. However, 60% spend less than 3 hours or less, and 12% that blast past 6 hours represent the largest sector of those that report strong results, right? Mm-hmm. So when you look at these like insanely successful bloggers like Neil Patel, those can't come out of your brain in a half hour.
No. So on average, we see that it's really one in four bloggers who say that their blog delivers strong results. That's our target. That's the goal. That's really what we're going for, one in four. We're about half, just over half, 54% of bloggers say that they get some results. Other people are disappointed, or they don't even know the value. That's the final quarter of, one in four of us. So you want to, if you want to outperform that, it is a strong correlation, right? It's the bloggers who are using multiple editors, who are putting in more time, who are putting in, who are writing longer content, who are adding more format types, who are more involved with analytics. You know, it really is, you just said it, it's you get what you give, and people who take this more seriously and put in more effort are seeing more. But then we come to this, there's a surprise in the finding, which we'll get to, about frequency. But yeah, I mean, that's what we're seeing here, right? The correlation between effort and quality.
Yeah, I think, I mentioned Neil and other great bloggers come to mind, the staff at CoSchedule and Brian Dean, and their blogs are becoming kind of short novels, or, nonfiction books that are very deep. And I think this jump we saw from roughly 2.5 hours to 3:15 or so is going to jump again, because we're finding, why blog if people don't, if you don't get any traction as a result of it? And I think so. You have to, the takeaway from all this data is you have to do it better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta. So then we get to the forever age old eternal question: can I do it better and do it as often? Mm-hmm. So here's the struggle. Here's the tension that we all feel. Here's what's going on in the minds of anyone who listens to this, and what I think about every day. How can I make something that's amazing and still do it on my publishing calendar? Or can I do I have to do it as often? Mm-hmm. And I have always advocated that quality is more important than quantity, and you'll get better results if you do something truly great, even if it's less frequent. I think monthly is kind of a minimum for anyone who wants to retain some brand awareness. But yeah, I mean, I've never been a daily blogger. I will never be a daily blogger. So we thought we would see that the frequency decreased as effort increased, and we did see that frequency was decreasing. The of all the respondents, there were fewer people who were going daily, right? Daily went down. Multiple times per week went down. Weekly went up. Several a month went up. Monthly went up. So the that curve is kind of shifting to the right. 53% fewer bloggers are reporting publishing daily, 38% increase in bloggers publishing monthly. But then we applied the analysis and we asked the question that you helped write, which was, what kind of self-report on your results? Which of the following applies best to your blog? Strong results, some results. And we found that people who publish more often, in fact, report stronger results across the board.
The data says that. I think, put an asterisk there for performance enhancing drugs. a solopreneur can't do that,
No.
Or if he does, he has some sort of secret gas like Neil does. And so I think, those that market their company through blogs have multi-author blogs, and they've figured out how to scale their team.
Right. It's leverage. And we'll get to this as a future topic, but there are ways to delegate. There are ghost writing stuff, but there are ghost drafters who will get that thing going for you. There are editors, there are teams, right? There are groups of people who will collaborate together and delegate out the pieces of this project so that they can keep their frequency up high. The solopreneur, though, it's tricky. And a lot of us are looking for for help in this regard. I'm part of a mini mastermind group that just formed about promoting how to get better production from your content marketing creation efforts. But yeah, we'll get to that as a future topic. And I'm not going to recommend that anybody kill themselves trying to go daily on amazing content.
Well, toss in a reality check, right? Like, you know, should I blog daily? No, you know, unless no. You can blog daily with an awesome blog, you know, So then yes, you know, so you should blog as often as you can create something great.
Yeah. And maybe your content strategy is to produce, it would be contrary to the findings, but maybe you're writing shorties. Maybe you're doing a daily shorty. You know, I know people that do this and see good results that way.
Or some combination.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
So, what else did we study? You got to the use of media, but let's go back there. The infographic talks about, you asked questions about, length. We haven't got to length, but real quick, let's get to the media. So you could include in your blog stuff like images, infographics, videos, and audio. So what did we learn about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I was a little bit surprised by this. Not that there's people who are going big on the visuals, the basic visuals like an image or more than one image. Video is up, audio is down. Listen up, we're bucking the trend with our podcast here. Lists are way up. But in general, more people are putting more types of content, investing more in the assets. And then just to hit the other notes briefly, more bloggers are using editors or a formal editing process. More bloggers are checking their analytics and getting a better handle on what's working, what's not. Hopefully letting them better self-report on their strong sum or disappointing results. But we can hit on content now real quick and finish there or on the length. 2014, the average blog post was 808 words long. 2015, that nudged up. It was about 890 words long. Now in 2016, here we've seen a jump. It's north of 1,000. The average blog post averaged out over the ranges that were from the respondents here, 1,054 words long. So pretty good increase. The average length of the blog of a blog post is up 19%.
I have no reason to debate that. They are getting longer, and those that report to the world at large about the trials and tribulations and successes and failures of content marketers generally say longer, stronger, and more likely to rank on search page one, which is obviously one of the goals. And so people are producing longer posts. You know, that's good if they're better, you know. And so I think as a universal rule, it's also dangerous because people are also blabbing on, you know, incessantly and boringly.
Yeah, you've accused me of being, partly, you know, to blame for this trend because we did research long ago and saw that there was a correlation between length and there's all kinds of them. There's a correlation between length and high rankings, correlation between length and shares, correlation between length and lead gen on gated content, and correlation between length and self-reported strong results. So there's other ways to do it, but generally our goal is content creators is to make the best page on the internet for a topic X. And it's hard to imagine the best page on anything, being like 300 words. So.
Yeah. But, you know, the best page on something could be 90 second videos. So it's
true.
It remains to be seen. The user experience at least has something to do with it. I have to quote George Carlin, one of my favorite comedians. You feel the same? Maybe our listeners aren't even old.
No, I love George Carlin. Genius. Go back and find the videos. He is, will always be one of the greats.
So George, I think, you know, with tongue in cheek as usual and heavy sexual innuendo, responding, I think, to a cigarette commercial, he said, "It's not how long you make it, it's how you make it long."
You loved those. Hey, it's time. You ready? We got to move on.
We do?
Yeah, it's Mousetraps and Cheese time.
All right. Well, we hit the length, and we hit all the most important stuff.
We got it. We nailed it.
Interesting takeaway, though, is, and I guess it's sort of left over from last year when you talked about the amount of time people put it into and the amount of editing it goes through, and you know, you didn't get to it in this conversation, but where they do it, which is largely at work during working hours, which differs slightly than years past. Mm-hmm. Last year you concluded blogging's not a hobby anymore. Blogging is a profession, you know, that is an integral part of marketing. And that just, you know, that just got exaggerated and nailed down even stronger this year, because bloggers are simply trying harder to do better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good sign. I think it's a good trend. It's all positive, the way I read it.
Yeah. I mean, it's still fruitful territory. That being said, I think there's a lot of rich getting richer and poor getting poorer, because it's not easy to have a great blog. And so I think a lot of people are not really preparing to do it right. So I think your data sort of says that, you know, at the early stages, the implications of this data is that strong results come from putting in the effort and variety and editing. And that's how you're going to do it. And, you know, if it's easier than that, please tell us how.
No, that's you know, it's the correlation between effort and reward.
Yeah. All right. So let's give some tips regarding content and websites that we call Mofaps and Cheese. On the topic of blogging, and God, I had to pick one. You know, I certainly am a proponent and avid blogger and lover of blogging. On the topic of blogging, something that the data doesn't get into is the point of view and the voice and so forth. And you know, you and I had a conversation about some interesting characters in content marketing just mm-hmm. earlier today. And you know, love them or hate them, there are these bloggers who have very, very strong points of view. And I think you should. And my advice to bloggers, if they fear making ripples, is to not to. An ad guy that I admired very much in the 70s and 80s when I was growing up in the business, named Tom McGilligan, said, "When you turn some people off, you turn some people on." Mm-hmm. And that's scary and it's dangerous, and people shy away from it. And I think a lot of bloggers, they are trying to be journalists, which is a mistake. And they are trying to say the right thing. And they get to the point like where should I say that or shouldn't I say that? It's opinionated. It's dangerous. You know, it's risky. It's, you know, some people might perceive it to be wrong or offensive. And so they go right in an interest of being more popular to more people, which I think has the reverse effect of what you want it to. So I say go left and allow your blog, you know, this is your pulpit, your platform. Allow your blog to reflect your point of view in every conceivable way. You might turn some people off, but you're going to get shared more, talked about more, quoted more when you have an interesting point of view.
I agree, but and I'll speak for a lot of the listeners when I say that's easy to say. You're recommending courage, and that you make it look easy, but that's a tough one, and I think it's a challenge. And I hope people step up. It's an excellent point.
Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't mean like, you know, have alternative facts.
No. But to state, you know, to publish strong opinion. I mean, if you're the people, keeping in mind the people that we were referencing in that conversation you mentioned, which it's people that stick their neck out, you know, people that that have beliefs. They're for something. They're against something. They take chances.
Those are people whose blogs grew in popularity because of their point of view.
Yeah, it's not watered down. You know that you know them when you hear them. You read it, they sound like them. It's a voice. Excellent. Okay, mousetrap tips tend to skew more toward the conversion optimization and how to get better results by getting visitors to take action. And I'm going to share something that I've written about recently that anyone can apply. Adding proof and evidence to your pages, your sales pages, product pages, service pages, will improve conversions. Add proof, add evidence. But I want to suggest and remind people that there are two kinds of proof you can add to these pages. There's the big picture, data statistics type proof, the numbers, and there's the little picture, the individual, the personal story, the testimonial, the case study proof. If you want to get a better conversion rate on your sales pages, your products, your services, your programs, your events, whatever you're trying to sell, that page, not the content marketing, not the blog, but on the sales pages, add evidence, but cover both bases. Add a statistic that shows that you're legit by using data and appealing to the mind with reason. And then add a testimonial that adds evidence by including a personal story, show the picture, make it a face, by appealing to the heart with emotion. Two kinds of data, or two kinds of evidence, and it's a strong page that includes a little bit of both.
And that's good stuff. I'm kind of on a beat. I'll spare you the details of the client, but I'm kind of on a user-generated content beat, which includes something I've written for you, actually. And I think social proof largely is user-generated, and it's just simply mm-hmm. a matter of trust. You know, this stuff didn't come from the CEO or the marketing department. This stuff came from your peers.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's the third-party endorsement. At that point, it's evidence. Mm-hmm. And when you show that other people believe in that thing, you benefit from them. It's called the halo effect. It's called the bandwagon effect. It's the conformity bias. It's herd behavior. It's leveraging that thing, right? You can't say it as well as they can. Whatever you write is marketing. But it comes from the user, comes from the audience, comes from a third party. It's someone else. It's a vote for you. It's not, you know, you can't really say, trust me, but other people can say, you know, trust them.
All right, let's get out of here. I see Jimmy Fallon outside the door. It's time to clear the studio and give way to the Tonight Show.
What's next?
You know, something we neglected, and though we'll show you this data we're talking about, we neglected to tell our listeners how to find this research. It's called, as an infographic, Secrets of the Most Successful Bloggers. You'll certainly find it as soon as you hear this, if you do a search for that. And then on Orbit's media site, what's it called?
The survey of the third annual survey of 1,000 plus bloggers.
All right, right on. Okay, so we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks at the next episode of Content Matters, where we're going to queue up the all important and juicy topic of repurposing your media across or repurposing your content across media.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. See you then, partner.
All right. Thanks, Andy. Talk to you.
It's going to